Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Otis Leavell, not a household soul name in Chicago, but should be as far as that goes. And Keep on Lovin' came out in 1966. Of course it didn't chart. It was on Columbia. It was a flip of Right Back in Love. Carl Davis produced it, which you can probably hear just listening. I'm Rodley James. I'm filling in for Rick Kogan. And we have Summer McStravick joining us. Welcome, Summer.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine. You know, I often look at your websites and I get exhausted just seeing all that you're doing. And you seem to...
I know, that was quite the intro you gave me. I'm a little embarrassed.
Oh, no, don't be, because it's 100% true and then some, to say the least. Now, of course, Venus was your mother. Was she throwing mojos when you were growing up?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking to myself, oh, God, I've got to follow my mother on the radio. That's a hard act to follow. No, actually, she wasn't. She didn't do mojos till maybe 10, 15 years ago. But the intuitive psychic part of our family has always been really, really strong. It's just a matter of, you know, how it comes out in us. So I'm a little different than she is. I don't do mojos.
No.
But I do things in my own way.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it was tough having someone intuitive as a mother, but thank God there were no mojos, because your friends never would have let you live that down.
And there was no sneaking out of the house at night either.
Well, right. Yeah. Hmm. But the idea of flow dreaming as a concept is really interesting, A, because it works, but B, because you developed this, and you could say that it's to some degree an offshoot of what we would talk about in the field of getting in touch with the universe, so to speak. But it's unique to you,
yeah.
So explain.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm thinking about everybody who's just heard Venus, and, you know, you probably got a real good sense of how she goes through and speaks to the universe and speaks to people and goes right into their minds and kind of communicates. So what I do is really similar, except that I look at communicating with non-physical, let's call it non-physical, whatever you want to call it, as kind of like a two-way street. You can either read information from it, which is when you go out and you read someone's mind, or you read the national angst, which is out there right now,
yeah.
Or you write information to it, right? It's like an old CD-ROM. And the part that always fascinated me was, how do I write information to it? Because if I can pull from it, I can put something into it as well. So that's really what got me on this whole idea of manifesting, co-creating, kind of partnering with non-physical, physical and non-physical together to create, you know, everything that I want to make in my life. And so that's kind of where flow dreaming came from. That sense of, okay, how do I go about doing this? And I fell into the technique, and this was many, many years ago, before I ever started working with Hay House or doing any corporate work or starting my own companies or anything. I began using this technique just for myself. And I realized that there's a lot of people out there who've tried meditation. And if you're like me, meditation is really hard if we have these really busy, yappy minds. And I said to myself, there's got to be a different way for me to really commune and communicate. Not prayer, not meditation, but something that lets me really get out there and speak and be heard and feel like I'm making something with the rest of the world, not despite the rest of the world. So that's where Flow Dreaming was born. I mean, I could go into great detail, but I don't think we have time necessarily for all the little parts.
Well, you know, what's interesting, of course, is as anybody's listening to this, it falls into a few camps. There are some people who say this is utter nonsense. And of course, I say, then look at it for its entertainment value and read nothing more into it. You know, don't trouble yourself worrying about that. But then you've got another group of people who say, you know, I read The Secret. There is no secret. None of this works for me. Or like you say, I tried to meditate and all I kept thinking about was my grocery list or whatever. And you've got other people who say, you know, positive affirmations, I affirm every darn day, and all I get is more bills, or what have you. So I think the vast majority of people who have been willing to believe that, hey, maybe there's a way to, control my destiny, influence my future, or bring me whatever my heart's desire is, but we just can't seem to find it. Now, Flo...
he said the word that's not right, control. That's the thing, right there.
Well, yeah, and I guess isn't that a universal weakness in the corporeal state and the earth plane? We all feel better when we think we are, quote-unquote, in control. And so the idea of being willing to give up whatever it is that are our touchstone values that makes us feel that we're in control, well, that's a fight. Most people will not do it.
Well, okay, let's look at it this way. This is the paradigm that we'll play with, okay? So you either probably are on one side of the fence, which is the whole world is material. It's only in your brain. You fight your way through life, and you die, and you go back to the dirt. Okay, that's the one black and white side. The other side is God or Source or whatever put you here, but you're pretty much cut off from it. You know, you don't get to hear or get any information. There's nothing else you can work with. You're still having to toil, figure stuff out, you know, in your own misery until you die. And then again, that's it. Right. So I don't like looking at either of those perspectives. Instead, I'm looking at the world like we live in a dualistic universe, up and down, light and dark, forward and backward. The seasons move in one direction, right? The earth spins around the sun in one smooth direction. Time is an arrow. It flies forward in a singular direction. There is always this opposites, basically. So if that's the case, if we live in this sort of dualistic universe, it makes sense that we'd also be looking at life in terms of physical and non-physical. And, you know, that's the dualism. So if you're here and you're living only in a very physical-minded way without any connection to non-physical, and don't buy what you've been told that there is no connection to non-physical. That's just don't buy it. Don't get me going on that. But you have to buy into the idea that there is some sort of non-physical space I can go into, some sort of bigger connected realm of consciousness, of quantum data. There's been a lot of research on that. If you've ever spoken with a holist physicist, for instance, there's tons of data that suggests that there is a non-physical realm that your conscious is simultaneously operating in. It's operating in physical, it's operating in non-physical. If you can start to navigate through life using both of those, that for me is the honey. I mean, that's the sweet spot. And so that's really what I've been learning and practicing, you know, for all these years. And I call it flow dreaming. It's my technique, my way of doing it. But, you know, I mean, I'm doing it even more now, especially with what's going on. For me, this would be the worst time just to sink into thinking, oh, I'm just being buffeted around by the winds of whatever is going on in the world. Because, you know, that's pretty crummy right now.
Your fear is probably the greatest tool of those who seek to control the masses, if you will. Fear is so strong that if you get people afraid, you've pretty much got them. And I think the despots of the world through the ages knew that. And for many people, this is a fearful time for a variety of reasons. But if you had to call them all down to one, this is a fearful time because of the fear of the unknown. And to an extent, that's sort of a microcosm of life in general, the fear of the unknown. So to be able to find a way to rise above that is obviously a key here. Now, it's always said that people will not change until the pain of change is appearing less than the pain of remaining the same. For a lot of people, you got to be pretty low to the ground before you're willing to say, okay, I give up. Maybe I'll look at life another way. And you were able to do that early on. And what's fascinating to me is that when you were hit with your stage 4 breast cancer diagnosis, this didn't shake you as much as it confirmed things for you. So tell me what went through your mind where you said, you know, this is part of the deal.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that before, you know, I got on the air with you. For anybody like me who's been through a point where you've sort of stared death in the door, you've already been there, and you looked at it and you realized, what do I need to do differently in my life? You know, is this it? Is this how things are going to end? Did I do what I wanted to do? Did I live how I wanted to live, et cetera? So when you're dealing with the pandemic right now, mm-hmm. and you've already been at that place, you kind of have a really strong, you know, stable place to stand on if you were able to make it through. So when you mentioned fear, you know, I absolutely had to go through the fear of, why is this happening to me? You know, I've done all the good things. I was a vegetarian for many years. I'm not anymore because I figure it didn't prevent me from getting cancer.
Right, so. Right. Have a hamburger.
I don't care about the animals, but nonetheless. So basically, you know, I started going on this road of, how do I live beyond fear? How do I decide, no matter what is happening around me, it's a question of, how do I want to be in the thing that's happening around me? And it got me really examining the way that we live generally, where we give our power away to all these external things. I could have given it away to cancer and said, cancer is now running me, and I'm just a victim, and I have to, like, just hope it goes away. Give your power away to the pandemic or to what people are talking about right now, this looming depression, et cetera. And I'm saying, wait a second, you have so much power inside you. You can find it inside you. If you keep giving it up and just feeling like that big sucking sound of it going out, and this is how it goes out, it's fear. Every time you feel fear inside you, because this is partly what flow dreaming is, by the way, to talk about emotions. Every time you feel fear inside you, it's almost like a thief is ripping something away from you. And all the fear that we're being asked to feel right now, yes, I understand why some of it is being asked of us, because the control is stay safe, stay in, you know, do the right thing, don't expose your neighbors, et cetera. Got it. I understand that. But there's a bigger snowball of fear that's going on out there. And I got to say, I'm not completely buying into it, even though I was the first person to go into hibernation when this all happened. But I don't want people or outside influences to say to me, hey, be afraid, and be afraid of your future. Be afraid of your financial future. Be afraid of what's happening to the world. It's all going to go to, you know, go to, I don't know, what can I say on the radio? I'm so used to saying all kinds of bad words. Anyway, so stay away from the fear. Stay away from the fear is what I'm getting at.
And that's hard, because most people say, you know, well, what I have to deal with is real. You know, the first thing is that they give it it power, which is easy to do. I look at this whole pandemic as being a quickening. It's bringing things to us more quickly, good and bad. We're seeing more bankruptcies. Mm-hmm. Well, most of those were on the brink before this. We're seeing changes in how people are going to work, and all of that was coming with technology. So this is just sort of a way to really have everything be a much quicker trajectory of where we were heading anyway. And so I don't see that as a bad thing, but the other side of that is that the arithmetic reality is that these days, with technology and with everything else involved, we need less workers than there are people available to do work. as far as, mm-hmm. you know, in the agrarian days when we had the Industrial Revolution. Yes, it was a real yeah. paradigm shift, but people got jobs. They went to the city, they got jobs. Well, now we have another yeah. paradigm shift, and it's no longer going to be that there's going to be one of those salary jobs for every human being. It's also mm-hmm. true that not everybody's going to become an entrepreneur overnight. Some people are not cut out to do that, period. And so really what this whole thing to me is, it highlights where we were headed anyway.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. And, you know, like I said, just like my mom, I can't help it. I am empathically connected to the world. I feel everything. I feel the motion of people's thoughts in my city, in my state. I feel people individually. It's just like zeroing in and finding it. And what a lot of people, sometimes they call them highly sensitive people, but for me, it's just, you're empathic. You can read the information that's out there. Just like I said in the beginning, right? You either read the information or you write to the information, one way or the other. And one of the things that I've been reading that's really kind of contrarian to what I'm hearing is, this is an unprecedented time right now. It's like a snow globe has been shaken. And as much as people are fearing and are upset that they're losing their jobs and they're losing old ways of doing things, I know, and it's very painful. But at the same time, we have an unprecedented amount of new opportunity. We never see this amount of opportunity out there. And furthermore, if you just tune in and just feel it, check your heart, you can feel how everyone is so eager to go back out. They are so eager to just climb back in and just chew through life. And this is not a characteristic that you saw in the Great Depression. This is not a characteristic you even saw in 2008 and 2009. You know, both of those economic collapses were precedented on, you know, bubble markets and, you know, the stock market failing and overvaluation. You know, they came from a very different source. And today, what we're experiencing is, it's just got a different character to it. And it's giving us this chance to realize that everybody's going out there hungry as fast as they can. You know, no matter how much they say stay in, everybody's saying, I don't want to. That's the hunger. And it's like a national tidal wave. You've got that energy of millions, hundreds of millions of people. And these hundreds of millions of people are all now looking, it's like a game of musical chairs. All the people that were stuck, and there's a lot of people who are stuck. I work with them all the time. That's what I do when I teach people, you know, stop being stuck. Here's what you got to do. This is their moment. I mean, this is the moment for everyone to make a shift. And it is an extraordinary opportunity. I don't think we're going to see this again for another, you know, dozens of years. So I flip and look at it from that perspective. Like, if you're not getting ready for your next opportunity in this, you're missing a huge transformational chance to move out there. But you can't be in fear, to go back to that. You can't be in a fear state. Your head is in the toilet, your life is in the toilet. So anyway, that's kind of my take on the pandemic. I just went off on a riff there.
No, okay. I would agree with all of that, actually. We've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. That's really the truth. You can think back, I don't care where you are, there's never been a time that the government said you can't go outside. And so there may never be again, although who knows what the future brings. But I utterly agree that this is a time of an opportunity for a shift. And that's what we're talking about. Summer McStravick is with me again. Check out flowdreaming.com to get some impression of what it is that Summer does. She's got coaching and the Me School, which we'll talk about, and some courses and events, and of course inflowradio.com as well. So I'm Raleigh James, filling in for Rick Kogan, and this is WGN Radio.
I don't know why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather. Since me and my gal ain't been together. keeps raining all the time.
All the time, all the time, all the time, all the time.
Life is bare, and gloom and misery's everywhere. It's stormy weather. Me and my gal ain't been together. Keeps raining all the time.
All time, all time, all time, all time.
Since you went away, the blues walked in and met me. If you don't come back to stay, old rocking chair will get me. And all I do is pray that the Lord above will let me.
Chicago's own Spaniels, Stormy Weather, Vice Records, 1958. No, it didn't chart. Goodnight, Sweetheart, Goodnight, of course, was a top five record in 1954 on the R&B charts. Had there been pop charts at that time, I think it would have topped it. Alan Freed's closing song and many others as well, but they did chart with Everybody's Laughing, and I know, so that was something, but I thought Stormy Weather was a terrific record, and probably a fine bumper, considering for many people the weather is stormy right now. I'm Raleigh James, filling in for Rick Kogan, who will be back in June, so you got me tonight and next Sunday night, and we're talking with Summer McStravick, flowdreaming.com and inflowradio.com, and I utterly agree, Summer, that that this is an unprecedented time to do a reset, to go ahead and figure out where we really want to be in life. But then there's a couple things. One is I hit that Maslow's hierarchy of needs and realize that if I don't know where my next meal is coming, I don't feel so spiritual. So for individuals who are at a point where you're saying, hey, that's all well and good, and I don't want to be afraid, but I really like eating, and that's a hard time to be able to separate that and say, I'm going to find a way to call on the universe.
Yeah, you got to start where you have to start. I mean, that's what it comes down to, period. I said last time, if your head is in the toilet, your life is always in the toilet. I mean, it's always that way. It all comes from inside of you. Your life is a perfect reflection of who you are. On the other hand, I know that that can be kind of like, you know, hard to hear if you're like, no, I didn't fire me, Summer. Someone else did. But nonetheless, there are always going to be things outside you swirling around that will take you down a notch, whether it's cancer or getting fired or getting COVID, lots and lots of things. And it's, your place of power is always in your ability to say, who am I going to be in this? Who am I going to be inside this? Am I going to be taken down by this? Or am I going to shift? Am I going to pivot? Am I going to think differently? Am I going to reach out and try different things? Or, you know, again, this is where flow dreaming comes in, because this is where I say, look, if there's nothing else I can do, at the very least, I can close my eyes and I can make myself feel good. And I think I know that that's kind of a weird thought for many people, too, because we're used to always having feelings in response to things outside us. So if the world outside looks crummy, you know, we feel like, well, I'm supposed to feel crummy in response. How else should I feel? And that's why I teach, and my life's work is built on this, saying just stop. You don't have to feel that way. If you keep feeling the way the world and all the things around you are making you feel, and the world is not in a good place, then you are going to feel crappy all the time. Instead, you need to feel the way you want to feel. How is that? And that's where you use this practice of flow dreaming. It's really simple. It's built on daydreaming, and it asks you to call up your emotions and to call up the feelings that you really, really desire to feel instead. So, you know, when I'm teaching and working with my students and clients, and this is, in fact, at flowdreaming.com, as you mentioned, I have a ton of these. They're pre-recorded. So they're audio files where I walk you through it, basically. But you can just close your eyes and say, look, here's how I feel today. I wake up and I'm feeling amazing. I feel good. I have full expectations that beautiful things will happen for me today, that I will hear something, find something, discover something that will set my heart at ease. I feel directed and healthy. I feel alert. I feel passionate. And I feel that my life is really, really heading where I want it to go. And just if you get away from the pessimistic way of thinking that says, well, that just sounds optimistic, put that down for a second. Instead, what you hear is, here's a person who is choosing the state of being that they want to be in, their energy, their mindset, their emotional self. Now, this is the person then that goes through the rest of their day having made this, I call it a blueprint or a template inside them, for how the rest of the day they'll be interacting with. So the day wants to take them down, but the day can't take them down. In fact, the day keeps getting faced with somebody who's expecting many, many good things. And we all kind of sense this and we know this. When you're in a great, good, spirited place, better things do tend to happen for you. It's kind of funny, but that's what ends up happening. So you're pulling the control back. Instead of having to just react all the time to the world, you're now saying, no, world, you react to me. And this goes back to that whole thing about dualism. Somebody's in control here, physical or non-physical. And sometimes you just need to pull something back and say, no, I'm not letting the world control me and how I feel. I'm feeling the way I want. And the world, you shape up and you start to match this. You know, and it doesn't cost anything to do this. It's cheap as a feather, and you just start doing it inside you, and there's nothing to lose if you try the practice.
Yeah, I should mention, when you say it's free, at flowdreaming.com, under free goodies, you've got the entire kit that teaches you how to flow dream in under 30 minutes, and it's free. So if you think, yes, well, you know, we're trying to sell something here, that's what summer's about, it's absolutely free. So, you know, flowdreaming.com, under free goodies, you'll see a free intro kit, and that'll teach you how to flow dream. Now, you know, it's interesting where some people will say, well, you know, I can't do that because right now I'm too involved in whatever my psychodrama is of the moment, so to speak. All right, well, with that in mind, what I find interesting every time I hear that is how many people are avoiding their reality by drinking or drugs or whatever else that might be destructive to them, where they're saying, I can't take it anymore. So I'm not saying this is going to cure alcoholism, don't get me wrong, we're not going there. But for somebody who is right now, you know, saying, you know, I can't do this. Well, yeah, actually you can. Instead of having that glass of wine or whatever, maybe take a look at this, because it's interesting that people claim they will never have time to do this, but so many people are able to dissociate in ways that will never benefit them. So this is a healthy way to do that. Now, there's another another facet
can I just
of this.
Tell you real quick?
Yeah.
The app. Okay, the first few weeks of the pandemic, I'm like, why are so many people downloading my app? I don't get this, because I get reports. There's a flow dreaming app if you want to find it on your phone, either iPhone or Android. And it turned out because everybody was searching for apps for anxiety. It turned out mine came up. So that just reminded me when you were saying about, oh, we want a drink or a pill or something to make us feel better. This is sort of like the natural alternative way of completely chilling out and just becoming a different emotional being. So, yeah, that's funny. But go ahead.
No, I'll get to that. But in reference to this, actually, you're right. There's a ton of anti-anxiety things, and you can see a million different meditations on YouTube. But what's interesting about that is, unlike all of those, this is something that you are creating, that you take part in, that actually will work for you. You know, some of those apps are, you know, not so much apps, but some of those videos of this or that are just hilarious in terms of anybody who thinks they're going to quell anxiety. Most of them won't even put you to sleep, but in this case, this is something that actually does work. So I want to pick it up there, including talking about individuals who are capitalizing on this pandemic, maybe not in the ways that will be in your best interest. So we'll talk about all the politicians who have never met a crisis they're not willing to, in fact, take advantage of, and we're seeing that as will only work if you are in fear. Summer McStravick, you can go to flowdreaming.com or inflowradio.com. And yes, we will take your calls. Nick in Baltimore will be up. There's room for you. 312-981-7200. I'm Raleigh James, filling in for Rick Kogan. Producer Ben is keeping me in line. Engineer Dan is keeping us on the air. And you're calling. That's right. 312-981-7200 on WGN Radio.
And it's fine, and your sweet loving baby is right on time. Ain't no man so bad he cannot be had. And you got a man walking, baby, kissing the floor. And you got a man knocking, yeah, on the wrong door. You got me talking, to myself.
Yeah, Jackie Wilson, Eugene Record wrote that. He and Carl Davis produced it. Great production. 1972, got to 22 on the R&B charts, 93 on the pop charts. But, you know, that was first sung and recorded at Brunswick in 1967 by Cicero Blake. They never released it. And I think later it came out on CD compilations and stuff like that. But, man, every time I hear that, I think, if I could hear Cicero Blake doing it with the production that Carl Davis and Eugene Record put into that, man. Well, it was good by Jackie Wilson. Who can complain? I'm Raleigh James. I'm filling in for Rick Kogan, and we're talking with Summer McStravick. Flowdreaming.com is the website. And I think if there is a bottom line to this, Summer, fear is really the enemy all the way around. And anything people do to, in fact, assuage their fears is going to put them in a much better direction. Now, of course, politicians don't want you to know that, because all of them, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, are using things like this to try and get through their wish list of controlling laws or regulations. And it seems like at the moment they're in a frenzy to do that. And if people continue to be afraid, they're probably going to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, everybody sells their agenda through fear. That's why when I keep saying, take your power back, take it back into you. You have it inside you. You can call it universal power, your soul's power, your power of your mind, your emotional power, or the whole thing all wrapped up together in one sticky ball. That's what you've got inside you. And we're all born with it. We move through life with this individual flaming power. And we need to figure out how we're going to use it in a way that's very positive, and it's not simply responding to everything that's going on outside us. This is really a calling back to your interior self. And, you know, it's funny, like, we've all been quarantining in various ways throughout the country, and it's like the world is asking, the whole world, actually, to go inside ourselves during this time. I mean, you have to admit, there's a cosmic component to this. The whole world is being asked to go inside themselves, stay inside your home. You can't get away from yourself the last few months. And it's an opportunity, if you look at it that way, as opposed to a prison. And when you look at it like an opportunity, what you're starting to see is, I'm powerful. I can actually do a lot more to self-direct in my life than I ever understood before. By the way, Raleigh, I have a flow dream that I've recorded called Beyond Fear. So while I teach flow dreaming as like a free, like a practice, like meditation, just like meditations, you can purchase like guided meditations, right? So you can meditate on your own, or you can buy audio. So I've got like 200 of these guided flow dreams that you can also find at flowdreaming.com on all of these different topics. Beyond Fear is actually the name of one of them, as well as find a new job, career transition, health, all kinds of things. Find a new house. I have them for everything. So
no, it's terrific.
I would really tell people to check that out. And I also wanted to mention my podcast, because that's like the next place to go. I've got like 600 hours recorded there of how to flow dream and all different topics. So look at Flow Dreaming on the podcast.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and that's all there, and anybody can download it and listen it at their leisure. And, you know, I think the people who are steeped in fear, what they have in common is, and you're absolutely hitting on this on every level, is they think everything is happening to them. They think there is no control. And when you can have yourself in a different mindset, and for some people, that can be religion as well. There are some people who say, hey, I turn it over to Jesus. You know, I'm not in any way telling you not to do that. What concerns me is the number of people who are not turning it over to anyone, anything, any entity. They are, in fact, saying that, you know, I'm in control. And that's where, when you hit times like these, it becomes utterly overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, there's so much I could go into. Yeah. I know I've only got a minute. I'm like, how do I say this in 30 seconds? So the way that I live today is I look at myself like a captain of a boat, right? I'm steering the boat and I'm picking the direction we're going in. I say, oh, we're going to go to that beautiful island. And I'm steering and I'm creating the direction, the intention. I don't control the ocean, though. Right? The ocean is life. The ocean is everyone around me, the world that I exist in. So I, as the captain, and the ocean, we've got to do this together. And when you look at life that way, you realize I'm co-creating everything. You can also apply that same idea to, I'm the captain directing where I want my life to go, but the ocean is spirit, is God. And I'm co-creating within the context of, you know, God and what I'm being given and my destiny or whatever your beliefs are. But there's always this sense that there's two parts going on, physical and non-physical.
Right,
and
right.
So if you start directing, that means you've really got to take your part. You've got to take your control of your part. You can't control it all. You've only got 50%. So most people just give up all of their control, and they just wait and see what happens. You can't, that's not living. That's something that really came to me after my cancer. You know, that's not living.
Right, exactly. And you see that on occasion with individuals who are thinking that they are, in fact, in the flow and going all this, and then they discover that what they get at the other end isn't what they anticipate. And very often some people will say, well, then all of it doesn't work. And it's, you found out, it's not like that at all. Now, you're right, we only do have a few minutes, but Nick in Baltimore wants to join us. So welcome to WGN Radio, Nick.
Hey, Raleigh. Great show.
Thank you.
And I'm getting so much from your guest here, you touched on fear, you know, and I'm thinking fear is also used as a weapon to control, and we can either give into that fear or commandeer it, you know, and growing up as a disabled person, as I have, grow up as with a great inferiority complex, and we're never going to be anything, and it's going to be very difficult. And we work through all of that, and life is worth living, and that's what I'm getting from what you're talking about tonight. There's so much to live for, and so much to look forward to.
Yes, if you're willing to do it. Yeah, no, it is. It's, and I think Summer will agree, it's always a great time to be alive. There's not any point in time where there aren't advantages and disadvantages, and it's up to us which we're capitalizing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine last night who I worked with many years ago. We were talking about this very topic, and that, with all the technological changes, and we look at what we have today. It's amazing, and it's how we use that technology to improve our lives, which makes the difference.
You betcha.
I can't wait to go to your website to
Yeah, you'll like it, Nick. I think you'll like it. I'm glad you called. Thanks, Nick.
Hey, thanks.
All right. So, yeah, technology is interesting. Many people do fear it. They see it's the enemy. And I look at that, and much of what you're doing online, you couldn't be doing it all without the technology we have today. I think a lot of us have some questions about artificial intelligence, which is not here yet, thankfully, in any real way. But apart from that, almost all the technology we're dealing with has a very big upside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm still thinking about what Nick was saying and, you know, the fact that he has a disability. And his thought was, that's not going to keep me from impacting the world the way that I want to be seen and show up into it. You know, and the way I look at people with challenges, whether it's a, you know, a physical challenge, emotional, anything, is that you're an important piece of the world and an important piece of the puzzle. And who you are is meant to be there to impact all of us. And never forget that, because, you know, without all of these different beautiful little shells on the beach, you know, that's what makes the beach, all of us. And to go back to technology, Raleigh, I agree. You know, I think technology has a positive side and, of course, a potentially negative side. Generally, though, I'm on the positive side of it, though, I must say.
Yeah, I would agree. There's many times I'd say, you know, hey, I'll go back to manual typewriters in a heartbeat. But then I think about that and realize that, no, actually, all of the intrusions that technology brings today, and there are many real privacy downsides and other form of tracking and everything else. But and getting worse by the minute. In the long run, what you're able to do on the positive side, like I say, if this were, you know, 1970, you wouldn't have the Flow Dreaming website. You wouldn't be reaching out to these people. There wouldn't be a way to get the word out in that way, you know, other than having tent revivals. That'd be about it. So this is fascinating. The hour's gone by too fast. I hope we'll do it again. And Summer, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, Raleigh. I really love being on here with you. Thank
you. Me too. Appreciate it. All right. So flowdreaming.com and inflowradio.com. Next hour, it's absolutely anything. When I saw Nick's name, I know he's called before about Baltimore Radio. It can be whatever you want to talk about. And sky's the limit. Don't ask me to predict the future. I can barely navigate the present. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.